From Spark and Anvil and Microlab, this is Yeast, in Chapter 1 of the Microlab cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5.
In the warmest corner of the Micro Bell kitchen, a small round tween named Yeast leaned over a bowl of dough and did something that looked, honestly, like nothing at all. She wasn't kneading, she wasn't shaping, she had already stirred herself into the flour and water an hour ago, and now she just sat beside the bowl with her cream-colored tunic dusted white, watching. Every so often, she pressed one finger gently against the surface, felt it, and smiled. A kid stuck their head around the doorway. "Is it broken? It's not doing anything." "It's not broken," Yeast said. "It's eating." The kid came closer and squinted. The dough sat there, pale and lumpy and completely still. "Watch the top," Yeast said. They watched. And slowly, so slowly you'd miss it if you blinked and looked away and came back, a tiny bubble rose to the surface and popped with the softest little tick. Then another. Then three at once. The whole mound of dough was, very quietly, breathing. "I eat the sugar hiding in the flour," Yeast said, "and I breathe out a gas. The gas can't get out. The dough is too stretchy, so it stays trapped in little pockets, and the pockets push. Give me an hour, and this whole thing will be twice as tall," she tapped the bowl. "That's the air inside the bread. I put it there, one bubble at a time." The kid looked at the slow, breathing dough as if it had turned out to be alive, which, a little, it had.
Yeast had felt small and pointless once, back when she was even rounder and even quieter. She was so tiny you needed a microscope to find her. One single cell, when the mushrooms and the molds in the fungus family were huge, branching, dramatic things. At the big family gatherings, the mushrooms would stand tall and shady, and the molds would spread across whole logs, and Yeast would sit in her drop of warm water thinking, "I don't even have a body. I'm one dot. What could a single dot possibly do?" She had almost stopped trying. An old baker found her one gray morning, sagging in a jar. He didn't tell her she was important. He just scooped a little of her into a bowl of flour and water, set it near the stove, and said, "You feel too small to matter. I know that feeling." Then he waited with her. By afternoon, the bowl had risen soft and dome-topped, and it smelled like something you'd walk a mile for. "You did that," the baker said. "Not the mushrooms, not the molds, you. 100 million of you, each one so small it's a rumor, all breathing at once." He pressed the warm dough. "Small isn't the same as nothing, little one. Small just means it takes a crowd of you, and a bit of patience, and heat." Yeast never forgot the feeling of that dough going up under the cloth. Warm, patient, full. She had a word for herself after that, and the word was not dot. The word was rising.
She walked to Microbo Lab when she was old enough to travel in a spoonful of starter, because a place that studied the tiniest living things ought to make room for one that was mostly bubbles. Spore, the mentor who ran the fermentation bench, met her at the door. He didn't ask her to lift anything or prove she was strong. He asked one question. "What do you do?" Yeast didn't answer with words. She asked for flour, water, and a warm windowsill, mixed a little of herself in, and set the bowl in the sun. Then she stepped back and waited, watching the clock on the wall like it owed her something. "It's not doing anything," Spore said, testing her. "Give it 40 minutes," Yeast said. They talked about other things, and when they turned back, the dough had swelled up over the rim of the bowl, dome-topped and pillow-soft, sighing tiny bubbles. "I ate the sugar," Yeast said. "I breathed out gas. The gas got stuck. The dough went up. Nobody pushed it. It rose from the inside." She poked the warm dome, and it gave, gently. "That's all I am. I turn quiet eating into air you can bite." Spore looked at the risen dough for a long moment, then at the small round tween beside it. "You belong here," he said. Yeast's bench was full of things that were secretly, slowly working. A girl came by one afternoon, arms crossed, cross about a jar of sourdough starter she'd been feeding all week. "I did everything," she said. "Flour, water, every day. And it just sits there in the jar. It feels like I did nothing." Yeast knew that slump. She'd felt it in a jar herself once. "Lift the lid," she said. "Lean in. What do you smell?" The girl leaned in. Her eyebrows went up. "Sour. Like tangy. Kind of nice, actually." "That's me and my bacteria friends living in there together. That smell is us eating." Yeast dipped a spoon in and lifted it. The starter stretched, webbed with tiny holes. "See the bubbles? Everyone is a breath. You've been feeding a whole quiet crowd all week. They weren't ignoring you. They were working, just too small and too slow for you to catch them at it." The girl stared at the stretchy, holy spoonful. "So it's not lazy?" "It's the opposite of lazy. It never once stopped." Yeast tipped the spoon back. "Mix some into dough tonight. Keep it warm. In the morning, you'll have a loaf full of air, all sour and tall, and every hole in it will be a breath somebody took while you were asleep." She grinned. "You didn't do nothing all week. You raised a crowd." The girl laughed and screwed the lid back on her jar like it was something precious now.
Later, when the bench was empty and the last loaf was cooling, the girl came back with one more question. She was quieter. "When it's just sitting in the jar," she said, "and you can't see it doing anything, how do you know it's still alive in there?" Yeast thought about the drop of warm water, about feeling like one pointless dot, and the baker who waited with her until she rose. "You feel it," she said. "That's the honest answer. Press the dough. If it springs back soft and slow, something warm is happening inside. Smell the jar. If it's a little sour and alive, someone's home." She rested her hand on the cooling loaf. "The quietest things are usually the busiest. Nobody claps for us. We don't rush. We just eat a little, breathe a little, and by morning the whole loaf is taller than it was." The girl nodded slowly, and Yeast watched her shoulders come down from around her ears, the same way, long ago, hers had, next to a bowl going up under a cloth. She didn't say the rest out loud, but she thought it, warm and rising. The slow, sitting still, seems like nothing moments are usually the ones where the most is happening. You just have to lean close enough to feel it breathe.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Yeast. Released under Creative Commons BY-NC-SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.